presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast today. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I'm coming to you from the studios of WMIE 91.5 FM. And we want to thank you for making Christian radio a part of your day. And want to also say thank you for those who were able to participate in the offering last week and continuing to fund the gospel going across the airwaves throughout Brevard County. Want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. If anywhere in the central Brevard County area you find yourself with an air conditioning need, I encourage you to give them a call. Or maybe you want to make sure your heater is up and running because cooler weather is on the way. I can tell what the temperature is outside because of my electric bill. And my electric bill has been dropping dramatically, and for that, I'm very thankful. They say, well, why don't you get on budget billing? And I said, because my budget really likes it when those electric bills go down. And so if I plan for the more expensive one and then the electric bills are much less, then it means a bonus in my budget for that month. So Creative AC Solutions can help you with that. Maybe your air conditioner was impacted by the storms. Whatever might be the cause, it might just need maintenance or whatever, give them a call, 759-3284, and they will get you fixed up. We do want to encourage you to be part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God this week. We are having our Refresh Brevard 2016 Holy Spirit Emphasis Week. That's a mouthful, but it just kind of gives you a description. If I just told you Refresh Brevard, you wouldn't really know what it was, but we're having a Holy Spirit Emphasis this week, Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night at 7 p.m., and Sunday morning at 10:30. Now, the kids are going to have something special going on will free up our facilities, and so they're going to be taken care of. They'll have their regular time. We're not going to be focused on 7:45. We're here to hear from God during this week, and I will tell you, when I was in Bible college, we had a spiritual emphasis week in the fall and in the spring semester, and one of those years that I was there, we just had a tremendous visitation of God, and I stayed, I worshiped, God impacted me. That lifted, then it came, there was another wave of his presence that came, and after two, I thought, well, this is pretty much done, and that service had gone on until probably 10 o'clock. It was probably 10 o'clock by the time I returned to my dorm room. And I had made the decision that I was going to go ahead and go back to my room because that was surely all God was going to do that night, only to awaken the next morning to find out that it had intensified even after I left, that it wasn't the end. It was just a breather. It was just a time of refreshing. And the presence of God was even more intense later than it was earlier. And I made a decision at that point in time that I was going to make sure that I didn't miss out on anything that God was doing. And so I encourage you, if you can make it out to one of these four services, do so. We are praying for our country. We are praying for our community. We are praying for our own spiritual well-being, that God would refresh us, that he would visit us, and that he would empower us. So come be a part of that. And the kids' classes, like I said, those are going to be consolidated. and our children's ministry team is going to be working on that. They'll still dismiss at 7:45, but we are going to have as much time with God as we can. I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 45 today, Isaiah the 45th chapter. We're going to continue our study. We've been talking about out of Isaiah chapter 44 that it concluded by identifying Cyrus, who was a king of the Medes and Persians. And I want to talk to you out of chapter 45 because it continues on with that word that God has for Cyrus some 200 years before he comes to the throne. So let me address this. And by the way, Medes and Persians, they weren't necessarily already inclined to hearing from Jehovah God. It would be something that you wouldn't find out about until after you came to the throne. So let me address it in chapter 45. Let's just begin reading in verse number 1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. So I'm going to stop the reading there today, and I want to address this. It says, thus says the Lord to his anointed. Now, in the Old Testament, there were several things that took place where there was an anointing involved. There was anointing when there was a change of priesthood. There was an anointing for kings. But I believe that there is a impartation, an encounter with God, a blessing of God, an endowment from God, a gift from the Holy Spirit of God that is available to you and to me for whatever task God has called you. So you can be a plumber, you can be an anointed plumber, you can be a mechanic and you can be an anointed mechanic. You can be a construction worker and be an anointed construction worker. In fact, in the Old Testament, the two people who are among the first to be mentioned as being filled with the Spirit of God, they were furniture makers and craftsmen who helped form the tabernacle. Now, they weren't the priests. They weren't the king. They didn't have an office like that, but they had an anointing from God to work with their hands. So I want to encourage you today, don't just assume that anointing is for other people. Don't just assume that anointing is just for the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or the worship leader. God has an anointing for you so that wherever you go, you spread the fragrance of his presence, the fragrance of his life, that you bring resurrection power to that place. So wherever you are, I want you to recognize that as a divine assignment. A divine assignment. Now, that is not to say that if you're a drug dealer, you're divinely assigned to be a drug dealer. That's not the case at all. You need to get rid of that. If you're involved in things that are illegal, immoral, and unconstitutional, as I like to say, you need to trust God, your Jehovah Jireh, to find that anointed place that he has for you to serve in victory rather than the trap that the devil has for you to serve in defeat. So we've been talking about Psalm 91 on Wednesday nights, and we have been talking a few Wednesdays ago about delivering from the traps that the enemy has, and there's various different traps. There are traps of bait. There's camouflage traps. There's traps of questions where they try and get you with words, and we're in the political silly season right now, and it's called gotcha politics, where look, we have you saying this, and we've got you this, and all of that sort of thing. they will try and trap you with your words. If you've never had that happen to you, let me tell you, I've had it happen to me, and it's not a pleasant thing. So you don't want to fall for the enemy's trap. Sometimes he wants to snare you so that he can use you as bait, some to lure in someone else. Sometimes he just wants to destroy you. Sometimes he wants to maim or injure you and damage your credibility. So I encourage you, don't fall for the enemy's traps. You have to know what's in people's hearts. And so Cyrus is anointed by God, and he says, I'm going to hold you by hand, and he calls him by name, like I said, 200 years before, and he says, I'm not only am I going to call you, not only am I going to name you, not only am I going to hold you by your right hand, but I'm going to go before you, and I am going to prepare the circumstances. I'm going to prepare the atmosphere, the environment, so that you will be successful at what I am appointing you to do. One of the great differences between God and the devil is God sets you up to succeed and the devil sets you up to fail. God sets you up to succeed, the devil sets you up to fail. I've had people that have told me that they were not happy that we had been assigned to Merit Assembly of God with the situation the way that it was, because they looked at it and they said, this is a setup for failure. And please understand, there wasn't a lot of support. I went to a meeting one time and people were having a conversation. This was supposed to be a minister's retreat. It was supposed to have been a time of refreshing. And there were a couple of people who were having a discussion, and they were describing pastors in my situation who were just there for the financial support that they could get from the district. And I want you to know, the financial support that we had was $25 a month. And my wife helped to keep me composed at that time, but I really wanted to go up over to them and said, look, if you think the only reason that we're doing what we're doing is for the $25 a month in financial support, I will be more than glad to send that back, to remove that accusation. You see, there's a lot of people who think that it's all about the money and stuff like that. It's not. It is about transforming lives and seeing people delivered from the power of darkness and the power of Satan into the kingdom of God. We are in the people transformation business, and transforming people is a very slow process. I can preach and preach and preach, and it may be years before the fruit of all of those messages come to pass. But I thank God that He is the Lord of the harvest, and no seed that has been sown is going to be squandered. Tim and Jerry Garrison, who are our Sunday school teachers, our adult Sunday school teachers, they say God doesn't waste anything. And so that seed that lay dormant today, He's going to prepare the right timing. He's going to prepare the right soil for that seed to be planted, for it to come to pass. One of my favorite historical articles, I have it in my files, is they were doing an archaeological dig in Israel. They came across a seed, a tree seed. And as they analyzed it, they realized that this seed was part of a tree species that was no longer existing. It was a seed that just needed to be pollinated. And once it did, it brought back a species of tree from the dead. It had been buried under like 15 feet of dirt. Now, I want you to think about that. It was part of an archaeological dig. They had to remove that much of the current above ground and before they came across. And I don't know about you, but if I saw a seed under that much dirt, it wouldn't necessarily stir something in my spirit that said, wow, this could be something really unique and special. But it was. So I just want you to know that at one point in time, that had been on the surface, and the environment had changed. God wants to change whatever environment is necessary to make you successful as he anoints you to fulfill the call that he prepared for you to do before the foundation of the world. What does God need to change in you? What does God need to change in me? Sometimes God has had to change the way that I thought. You know, if I get trapped in a cycle of defeatist thinking, then God would have to change my thought patterns. Now, before you go too hog wild crazy thinking that that's something that I've had damaged thinking. I'm taught the example I'm thinking of specifically involves the way that some people used to affect my thinking on the golf course. And it would get me spiraling down to where I was no longer enjoying what I was doing. I had to change the way that I thought about that. And I'm so thankful that God does have the ability to change our thought processes. He does it by renewing our mind. Do you realize that if God were to change our mindset and he were to change us to make the adjustments necessary now, and make some new habits, as we've talked about before, that God will bring about a whole new you and a whole new me. I've got a friend, and God has just done a tremendous work in this man's life, just blessed and highly favored. And he came from a situation where at one point in time, as he began to make his changes in his walk with God, there began to be blessing that was poured out upon him. And pretty soon people began to see the blessing that was coming, and they began to talk bad about him because he was being blessed. They were working in the same environment, but he was prospering and they weren't. And God changed the way he thought about that to where he finally came to the place and said, you know what? I'm not going to feel bad about the blessings and the favor of God that is upon my life. I refuse to feel bad when God blesses Merit Assembly of God because we have changed the way that we used to do things with missions to the way that God wanted us to do missions because he spoke to us. And when we walked in obedience, everything began to turn around. I don't feel bad about that. Now, there are still some things that I feel like that, you know, God can cause breakthrough. And it's not going to be doing the same old thing, the same old way, because all that will do is produce the same old results. Now, we're talking about Cyrus here, and there are many people who are trying to talk about a presidential candidate and identifying them as a modern-day Cyrus. I don't know about that. I just know, the candidate that I was rooting for, they're not still in contention for this race. And so I'm having to look at policy. I'm having to look at religious freedom. I'm having to look at issues like life, and I'm having to look at issues like the Supreme Court and pray and say, God, which way would you have me to vote? And I have a peace in my spirit about which way that I'm going. Not that I'm endorsing the behavior, because both, in fact, I haven't found any of the four major candidates, which are the four that I know, I haven't found one of them to be without flaw. And so I'm just because I support a candidate on his policy does not mean that I support them on their person. So God does want to make us and prepare us for change. And the reason that I did that little thing on the politics there is because if we continue doing the same things the same way that we have always done them, we are going to continue to get the results, and we're going to continue to dig ourselves deeper into a financial hole. We're going to continue digging ourselves into a deeper spiritual hole where depravity is even more rampant than it is now. Look, we've been talking in Christian circles about a slippery slope for decades now, from back in the 70s and the 80s, I remember these conversations taking place and D. James Kennedy talking about, hey, you know, this abortion ruling that the Supreme Court made, that it is a slippery slope. And I was having a conversation with someone here earlier this year, and I said, man, I knew that we were on a slippery slope. I just didn't realize how steep the grade was. And so we've got to say, God, would you change the atmosphere? Would you prepare the place so that your church is successful in whatever you've called us to do? Now, I recently saw this article where a person said, this is a tremendously exciting time to be a Christian. And I want you to know, I believe that. I believe that. I'm not looking for the season of Christianity where it's all easy and pie in the sky. I'm not made up that way. Because I've discovered a long time ago, in fact, there was something that we just read here in this passage, if I can find it, in verse number 3, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. There was someone that came 20 years ago, 22 years ago, and they were talking about why is everything so hard at Merit Assembly of God? Because we were praying and we were preaching and we were doing outreach and we weren't seeing much fruit. And I said, you know, in the natural realm, some of the greatest treasures are hidden in some of the hardest and most difficult places to get to. It doesn't mean that they're not there, and it doesn't mean it's not worth the process. It just means you've got to be more stubborn than the circumstances. And so I pray that God will give you, like he has given me, the gift of stubborn, not the stubborn against the things of God, not stubborn that says I can't be taught, but give you a spirit of stubborn that says I am not going to be tempted, I'm not going to be lured, I am going to operate with the same faithfulness and confidence that in God that I have always had. God will come through. He says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and I will in the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. And that is the motive that God works in every person's life to bring to that point of revelation. He wants you and I to know that he's God, that he knows us by name. He knows where we are. He knows what we've done. And he knows what he wants to do in us. So I want to ask you, what is it going to take for you to know that God has called you and he knows you by name? For Cyrus, it was written 200 years before the actual decree that he issued was proclaimed. In Ezekiel, God deals with his people. And he begins to deal with them in accordance with his word in the manner of consequences for disobedience. And he says, when I do this, then you will know that I am the Lord. When I do this, you will know that I am the Lord. When I do this over here, then you will know that I am the Lord. And it over and over and over again, it continues to say, the reason that I'm doing this is so that you will know that I am God. And he wants you to know that he's not only God, but he's your God. He wants to be your Lord, your Savior, your deliverer, your fortress, your provider, your Savior, your healer, your soon incoming King. Do you know that you know that you know that God is on the throne in your life? You see, you need to know that before you go through the storms. Because once you get in the storm and all you're trying to do is survive the storm, that's not going to be the place where you are suddenly going to experience spiritual breakthrough. You need to make those decisions. I tell people this, you need to know how you're going to respond to temptation before temptation comes. And God wants you fully informed. He operates from a different paradigm than the devil does. See, God tells you, he says, if you do this, this is the blessing that is going to follow. If you disobey, this is going to be the consequence. He says, I want you to know the consequences before you ever make your decision. He wants you fully informed. That way, when you act, you are not acting in ignorance, or you're not acting in emotion. You are acting with full recognition of what your actions are. You've made a choice. And that, in that respect, God is very much pro-choice. He wants you to make informed decisions. But once you've experienced the consequences of your choices, you don't get to go and punish the consequences just to make you feel better about your life. I'm here to tell you that God is not pro-abortion. He is pro-life. And he's not looking for you and I to say, oh, you know, now my dreams are shattered. Well, let me tell you, if your dreams are shattered, God's got dreams for you just the same way that he had dreams for Cyrus. Now, can I tell you that I've known people who made some very, very bad decisions, not just that led to consequences, but bad decisions when it came to dealing with the consequences of their choices. And do you know that the one thing that they needed more than anything was they needed to know that God was still willing to forgive them, and he was willing to heal them so that they didn't make that same decision again. Today, you are going to be facing choices. You are going to be facing decisions. God has, if you are a believer, God has divinely placed you for such a time as this, just the way that he has Esther. He has divinely and strategically placed you in this time and at your location. And he has an anointing for you that he prepared before the foundation of the world. So he's prepared the environment so that you will be used by him to build his kingdom. But all of that is secondary to you knowing that God is Lord of all, and he is your Lord. So if that's not the reality in your life, I want you to continue with me in prayer here today, and let's change that reality. Father, I know that a lot of people who listen to the radio here are Christians. I also know, Lord, that a lot of them have been hurt and they've been wounded. And I pray, God, that you would send healing right now, that they would embrace your call. Lord, that they would embrace your purpose in their life. They would embrace your healing of their past hurt so that they could fulfill the purpose that you have for them in their life. May you use them to build your kingdom today in Jesus' name. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.